How many of you have actually been to this presentation before? Last year? I remember you. Okay, we're going to be talking, if you've seen this, saw this last year, and you haven't taken any of the changes we've talked about, stick around. If you went back and you took all those suggestions, recommendations that we talked about last year and implemented those, you're probably all right. What we're going to do, this is very similar to what we talked about last year. There's a couple of new things. There is one big difference with this, is that we're announcing 1 week from this weekend, we're going with full disclosure. So last year we went with limited disclosure in order to make sure none of you guys got hurt. If you didn't pay attention, you didn't go out there. You know, you got 1 week to get your act in gear. Lotus has done nothing in regards to this except try to downplay this. So this is why we are doing this now. They've had over a year to get their act in gear and they haven't done it. My colleague Chris Goggins, unfortunately, is not here today. So it's just basically going to be me. Bill's up here. This isn't Chris. Yeah. So I'll be doing the whole thing through here. So we'll try to give you a break. If when we get halfway through here, I'm going to ask you if you guys want a 5 or 10 minute break. I know it's really hot up here, but hopefully we won't take this long that what we've actually got up here. We kind of ran over in Black Hat. Hopefully we can get through everything this time. When we did this presentation at Black Hat, we were kind of short on time. We had a whole bunch of questions. Feel free to ask any question you want, let's try to make it kind of quick. Actually, if you have a question, because this is, we've got fans and everything else, what I'd like to do, something different, is come down one of the aisles. Just get up and come on down so that I give you the mic, you ask the question, and we'll go from there. Does that sound cool? All right. So, general introduction. Trust but verify. We said this a year ago. You need to go through here and verify everything that you've implemented in Notes and Domino. A lot of the stuff you're going to be seeing today, you've probably already heard about, or you've already seen with the likes of Exchange, Outlook. A lot of the things we're going to be talking about, very similar. It is the same type of functionality you can actually do in Lotus Notes, unless you're running on this guy's network over here. Go ahead. After our initial presentation last year, if you saw that, Lotus had actually agreed. Do we actually have any Lotus people? One? All right. I'm going to be picking on you all day today. I don't know where you work, but I'm not actually trying to pick on you personally. I hope you won't take it that way. But a lot of the stuff we talked about last year was supposed to stay up on their security zone part of the website, which is actually lotus.com/security zone. And it came down, I think, about 2 months after our talk, which was really disappointing, and I think it was an injustice to the community, both the security community and the notes community. When we go full disclosure, there's actually, let me tell you something. After we did, we went with limited disclosure last year. So we basically gave you a whole bunch of recommendations to secure your environment. We didn't really publish the exploits. We didn't want to arm a bunch of script kiddies. I had about 5 people email me who were able to understand what we were talking about, and they were able to duplicate a lot of the things, the exploits that we had presented. And a lot of them have been very kind of antsy to go public with this, some of the stuff they're working on. There is a guy, his name is Coaxial Karma. He has a website called landofsilence.com. He's actually will probably be publishing a brute force attack. There's another company that, or an individual within a company. I don't actually have permission yet to mention who he is, but he's also working on a brute force password brute force attack. I believe Land of Silence will probably be publishing that within the next few months. Their brute force attack. So you need to really make sure that. Yeah, it's okay. We're going to go like this. No. Yeah, that's all right. So we're going to do this presentation one more time. If you didn't catch it last year, here we go. All right, so how big is Notes? It's really big. Last year when we talked about this, I think it was 50 million. It's now 70. It's above 70. 70 million corporate users. There's a new version, R Next. There's a couple of new beta version releases which are out. You can download them. Supposedly the problems with the password authentication we talked about last year, we're supposed to make it into this. I've yet to actually see it. But in regards to what Lotus Notes is, if you're not familiar with it, how many people are not familiar with Notes? A whole lot. Okay. Well, Lotus Notes is a totally integrated groupware platform. If you're familiar with Exchange, Notes is probably a bit more integrated than Exchange or a lot of the competing products out there. You can do all sorts of the stuff that you see up here. You've got the formula language. You have the Lotus Script. Lotus Script is very similar to Visual Basic. You've got JavaScript, Java, C++. You've got the APIs in there. Yeah, you can't actually compile C programs in there, but you have C and C++ APIs in there. How big is it? Who's using it? Everybody. Big six accounting firms. Half the big six accounting firms are using it. Most of the financial sector is using it. If you're a bank, you probably know what I'm talking about. Multinationals, pharmaceutical companies, it's all up here. Why are they using it? Because Lotus Notes actually has a really good reputation historically for being a secure platform. It's actually based on a public key infrastructure for both terms of authentication and encryption. You can encrypt at the document level, at a field level, at the network protocol level. It's pretty powerful. It actually was a good goal to shoot for. But there's still a few problems with it. In terms of access control, you can actually set access control at the field level, the document level, in the database. And historically, until last year, there were extremely few vulnerabilities. There's been some new ones, and I'm not actually going to talk so much about that. I've mentioned a couple of the guys who've worked on it. There's been some guys who've actually, if you've gone on bug tracking, they've actually been working on analyzing the network protocol that it's using. They made some interesting discoveries there. Release 5, we saw the Lotus drop the support for the Unix platforms, which was unfortunate. But it runs on just about everything, and that's one of the strong features of Lotus. With Microsoft, you've got basically one choice. With Lotus, you have lots of choices, and there's a lot of companies, a lot of organizations that make use of that. Same thing with the servers. Go ahead. I'm not, go ahead. So, did anyone see, I may get in a little trouble here with somebody, but did anyone see Bruce Schneider's talk at Black Hat? How many of you agreed with him? How many disagreed? Okay, I saw only a couple of hands. I don't agree. And I didn't get the opportunity to go up and tell him yet. I've got some friends that actually work within his company. And hopefully I'll be able to make my objections known to him. One of the problems one of the reasons I disagree on this is that to me, security is much more like a vaccination. We don't try to control AIDS after you've got it. It's too late then. I don't try to control other diseases. I don't think you should be trying to control security. I don't think you should be throwing money in the street and relying on detection and response. I believe prevention is crucial. I'm sorry? That's what a lot of us got. Prevention is, he stressed that it was more important, if I'm not mistaken, prevention was lesser of an importance than detection and response. Yes, but he used the excuse, or he used the judgment of good detection and response can make up for bad prevention. or no prevention. I don't agree with that. The detection and response is a lot easier and faster. Well, a lot of that, I understand that, and it sounds good, but it's kind of like viruses. Detection and response is possible, and it's good when you know what you've got to detect against. And you'll see in some of this demonstration, like in terms with Lois Notes, how can you detect things that you haven't yet witnessed? When we presented this last year, there was a lot of things. One of the new things we started investigating is that Notes actually supports direct translation into XML from the web server. So you can actually start pruning through a web server running on Domino and request an XML documents. And most companies, which use the logging facilities of Domino's, filter out only what they want to see. HTML documents like that, such and such, and other things which look like attacks. XML would get discarded in their logs. So how if you're discarding things like XML requests, or you don't even know about XML requests, how many people actually know that you can pull XML straight from the web server? All right, the rest of you are victims for this. So how could you justify good detection and response on something you don't know about? I mean, prevention is really key here. You have to rely on all three. But you really first have, it's like peace accords. You have to have peace accords with other nations to keep a war from starting. If you just sit around with a whole bunch of weapons, it could be too late. So all three are really important. I don't think that you can just go off and leave prevention out of the picture because you have good detection and response. All right. Well, this was my example. I've already said it. But using the farming and vaccination, because this is what the UK did with foot and mouth, detection and response. And how many animals were killed? Does that mean it's right? Okay. I mean, how many animals were culled? I live in the Netherlands. I watched all this. Fortunately, the government of the Netherlands looked at this and said, this is bollocks. And they immediately went to prevention. They immediately started vaccinating everything. And a whole lot of animals were saved. So prevention is, you can't just totally throw it out the window and rely completely on detection and response. So that's the point I'm trying to stress. Because we have the same thing in security. How many servers do you actually want to lose? Because if you don't know what you're looking for with detection and response, and you're not using strong prevention, you'll lose a whole bunch of systems, servers, datas, before you can actually integrate that into your detection and response. So strategically, and this is one of the things I said in Black Hat, we really have to stress this, because already we're starting to see some of the repercussions. People don't trust e-commerce. People aren't using e-commerce. Sure, a lot. Some of it may have to do with the fact that there's a lot of .coms out there that should have never been out there to begin with. But there was actually a poll just done, and this was actually while Black Hat was going on, and it was Tech TV, and I may get the percentage slightly wrong, but I'll get somewhere in the neighborhood. That what they were saying, they'd actually just done a poll of users on the internet. And it currently right now is something around 80%, 85% of all these users that they surveyed were looking to see government regulation of the internet for security and privacy. Now, of all these 85% which were wanting to see government regulation for terms of security, privacy, something like 75% of those surveyed had incomes of $30,000 or less. So I'm not trying to pick on you if you make $30,000 or less. That's not the point. But typically, generally, I'm generalizing, and whenever I'm generalizing, I'm lying. Generally, if you're making $30,000 or less, you're probably not a hardcore IT employee. You're probably not familiar with everything that the rest of us are. And in the security marketplace, we have got a couple of things to consider here. We have the supply side, we have the demand side, and we have threats. On the supply side, I would say, of all the security consultants out there, and again, I'm not trying to pick on anyone here, we have 80% which really stay on the surface. A lot of these are, some rather big names, unfortunately. But they're general security consultants, and they understand the principles. They're not hardcore technical security consultants. Probably 20%, if that, are really hardcore. On the demand side, we have 80%, which historically, up till now, have been considering security as a non-issue. And if you don't agree with me, then you're probably not a security consultant. I've been out there, I've been bashing people, I've been bashing companies trying to get into the door, talking to them about security. After we did this presentation last year, the company I had founded 2 years ago, we did this presentation last year, and we probably had five to ten clients for Lotus Notes Security and Domino. We probably, in the first month, we probably called over 200. So that percentage of the clients, maybe somebody else got them, okay. But I don't think that there's a whole lot of experienced Domino security consultants out there. And right now, with the failure of the dot-coms, we're seeing a whole bunch of motivations which are increasing. We've got international conflicts. I was talking with some of the guys from ISS Taiwan. They were saying that they see 40% of their attacks are coming from Asia. Another 40% is coming from Europe. About 10% are only coming where they're located at. Only about 10% is coming from the United States. So they're seeing a whole lot of activity over in Asia and Europe, which some of you may be able to relate to. There's a lot of corporate espionage going on. Tons of ex-employees with nothing else to do. They're disgusted. They're bitter. We all know that the stats that 80% of most security breaches come from disgruntled employees or from the inside. And everyone's got increased bandwidth. I've got a 1 megabit pipe into my house where a year ago I didn't. I'm sure a lot of you probably even have more. So how many of you are running 508 Lotus Notes and Domino? Okay, 507? 6? Who's not running 503 or greater? Okay, are you running a web server? Are y'all? Do you know about the directory traversal attack? Okay. And I assume that everyone here has a security PSPG implemented. All right, we've really got to take this stuff seriously. If we want to see this economy to turn around, this isn't technical, I know, but this is something I really believe in. If we want to see this economy turn around, we've got to start taking some of this stuff seriously. If we want to see everything on the Internet, all the growth, spur more growth on the Internet, e-commerce, we're going to have to take this much more seriously. Okay. If you don't identify your problem, somebody else is going to. And a lot of times I've gone out to these clients and they're talking about, well, you're a security consultant, you're supposed to solve my problems, but you only bring problems to me. I didn't create the problems. I'm helping you identify them. one of the things, and if you're a consultant, I'm throwing this out, just, you know, this is why I was using the vaccination as an example. I've found that I've had a little bit better success trying to explain this to people, for the people who look at me as the creator of security problems in the notes world. I didn't create it. Like I said, I didn't create any of this. Just identifying it, just like the doctor identifies a virus. Go ahead. So, we're going to talk about the client side for this first half, before the break. And there's the four things which you probably remember, if you saw this before. If you haven't, we have these four things: the stored forms, the execution control list. The execution control list, if you're not familiar with it, it's to prevent potentially hostile code from running with inside your notes environment, or being at least launched from there. We have the password hash problem. We've still not seen any resolution to this, really. There is a small something that you can do, and if you haven't actually done it, which we'll get to it, you need to get it done this week. Go ahead. And then the last half, we're going to be talking about access control list of databases. One of the things that we have been doing in the Black Hat, the Win2K, in February, Black Hat Asia, we actually did some demonstrations. They don't have the network up here, and I have some ethical problems about doing it. We did a couple of demonstrations while we were in Asia, but one of the things is what we called creative surfing. And this is very, very easy under Domino. You can start extracting information from notes databases running on Domino servers, if they're running a web server. Most people which have either developed internal applications on Domino or third-party applications have not undergone a serious security review of the design. And this is causing serious problems with those databases. Did anyone see the California Democratic Party news story? They were running a Domino server. They had actually were accepting campaign contributions. Bob Sullivan on MSNBC had covered this. The California Democratic Party was running a Domino server. They did not conduct a thorough investigation into the design of those applications on their Domino server, but they were accepting credit card contributions for campaign contributions on their website, and people could go in there and just retrieve all the credit card information, which I'm sure was really interesting to the Republican Party. Okay. Go ahead. So, we have the stored forms. How many people do not understand this? Because if nobody raises their hand, I'm going to skip this. So how many people do not understand the notes database structure? Okay. All right. Well, with the notes in the database, you have three different parts here. You have the data, you have the forms, and you have the stored forms. In regards to the data, it's structured data. In Release 5, we had the addition of HTML. Before that, it was just rich text. In Release 5, you now have the native. It can be stored as native HTML. And this, you can include Java and JavaScript in that HTML. On the forms, since the data is arbitrary, it's just structured data, it's not very convenient for people who are interfacing within notes to be able to look at a document, pull out the data that they need, or if we're entering data. So you have forms. And this is similar or akin to a HTML form that you fill out. It's actually how it structures that data. It's how it presents it to you for you to use. Back up. And you actually have something else called stored forms. And this is where you can actually put the stored form within a notes document for a transmission to another database somewhere else, so that if that database does not actually have that form that you need to view the data, since the form is integrated into the document, when you open that particular document, you'll be able to pull it up and see it the way it was intended to be viewed. One of the reasons I have the stored forms is a lot of document management applications make use of this. I'd say probably at least 70% of the third-party applications you can pick up on the market from business, Lotus business partners are using stored forms. And this causes a big problem when it comes to the security, because the stored forms can actually contain executable code. So when you pop open that document, you can the code that's in the stored form will actually execute. And stored forms, this is an important point, stored forms by default are enabled on almost every database, especially your mail files. By default, it is enabled. And if you don't, if you're running a mail server, and the mail server is actually has internet access for internet mail, we'll do a demonstration here, and you can see where you can have a lot of fun with that. Can you hold this? So we're going to do this demonstration here real quick. Oh, what happened here? So to explain what I've got here is, unfortunately, since Chris isn't here and I'm only running on one laptop here, I had not configured this with advanced services and time. I'd expected Goggins to be here and thought we could actually set up an SMTP environment that was going back and forth so you could really see this. Those stored forms can actually be transmitted over the internet. And this is where I'm talking about. So you'll have to bear with me and trust me when I say that this is actually possible. We actually have a server running here, and I've got a client which I'm going to use switch back and forth to simulate several different users. The user I'm actually going to be using here is, you can't really see this, but it's actually called Dutch Slachtoffer. And that's kind of, since I'm in Netherlands a lot, we've been using Dutch names for some of this stuff. So to give you a quick example here, or let you know what the configuration of this user actually is. This is his execution control list here. And you have a couple of settings here which are important. If you're not familiar with this, you have a default setting and a no signature. And the no signature is for any embedded objects which have no note signature attached to them. Typically, these are things coming from the internet. Since things like Outlook, until previous versions of Outlook and everything, have not been using the same type of same type of signature that Notes is using. Typically, this will come across an SMTP server. It has no signature actually associated with no note signature associated with it. Default is anything that's within your own organization and has not been explicitly defined. It's the lowest level within your own organization. So I just wanted you to see that all this stuff is turned off here, and you have a couple of different settings here. These are, as of 503, these are pretty much the default settings here. Before, these things were coming with everything enabled, and I believe it was in 503 that Lotus finally did change this, but there's still problems associated with this. Let me switch to the attacker. What we're going to do is we're going to send across a stored form. So I've actually got already a menu option here which creates the stored form with the code in it. Someone used this to create, which I'm really glad I did, because using the quality of these projectors is just nasty, and I wish we had something better so you could actually see this. I'm actually just filling out the address for Dutch Slachtoffer, and I'm not going to put anything else in this email. Just so you can identify it, those are all sevens. So we'll shoot this off. And if you look at the bottom of the console screen down here towards the bottom, you'll actually see this go across and get deposited into the victim's email account. So we'll switch back here now. So, is anyone familiar with Bubble Boy? Okay. This is basically Bubble Boy recreated. What I'm going to do, there's no actual attachment in this. This email, although the user can't see it, it actually has a stored form within the email. And this is similar to what Bubble Boy actually did. So the second I hit enter, what happened? Where'd it go? Now, maybe you would look at it as a security expert, somebody who attends this conference, and would have gone, better call the security guy. I'd be willing to bet $100 that your secretary wouldn't. And that's all I need. I don't need you to open it. I don't need to email it to the administrator. I just need the secretary to do it. Because there's already, if you watch the bottom here on the console, a message has been delivered back to the attacker, which has the name InBreaker. So unless this user was actually watching the console, probably just would have thought it was a buggy email. True. Yeah, what he said was that there is a bottom little display bar here. And actually, I didn't have time, but you can get rid of this too. This is possible to get rid of. No, but this is true. This actually shows, this is kind of like a command shell history almost in notes. Shows everything that actually happened. I'm sorry? Yeah, secretary still wouldn't know. I've actually gone across when I used to be administrator. You can do a broadcast on the console. Messages will pop up there. I used to tell people, log off, please log off, please log off. Got to back it up. Finally, I'd have to walk around the office and hit them on the head. So, switch back to the user here, or the attacker. So I've got an email here from Dutch Select Offer, and it says, I have created world access. I can't even read that. Basically, what it's done, the stored form had executable control, executable code, which was executed just like in the Bubble Boy virus. And what it did, it caused that user, without him knowing it, him or her knowing it, to change the access control list on the mail file. And I'm sorry I forgot to show you that. Actually, I'd gone off and set that. Does anyone need me to actually verify that the access control list was for anonymous was completely shut off? I see a nodding head back there. Okay, let me do it again. I apologize for that. Okay, so we're setting default to no access, and we are setting anonymous to no access. So we'll go back to the attacker and we'll send it again.